heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, if you had any doubt that the pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, China virus, was an election issue, I think what really bothers me more than anything is that the part of the country that's going along with it, kind of a wink-wink, and they know it's just nothing but a scam, that's kind of the biggest shocker that people would stoop to that level. But then again, when you look at the beneficiaries here of everything that we'll talk about today, when you look at that and you look at the bigger narrative, as far as an election issue goes, is for that matter, the political implications of this pandemic, that the people who really are utilizing it, you know, are the same people who were pushing for 3.5 years by hook or by crook with everything they could possibly come up with to reverse course and to remove number 45, President Donald Trump, from office. I mean, that has been the one narrative they've been bent on from the beginning. And that's never stopped up to this moment. It has absolutely never stopped. It's just one after the next. And it's going to continue on between now and certainly November. But even more so than that, it's going to go on after that. It's going to play on. There's going to be some election issues. There's going to be some pre and post, I can pretty well predict to you, because it just goes along with what's been happening thus far. Let's get into some numbers today. I want to talk seriously with you about this whole scam. And I'm convinced more than ever. Of course, we've talked about a lot of these things, it's been a dribbling effect, but we've been discussing many of these numbers, some of the implications. But now you see the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the beloved CDC, come out, and they released their new data here that depicts how many Americans have died from COVID-19 that also had contributing conditions. So according to their report on their website at CDC, only about 6% of the deaths have COVID-19 as the only cause mentioned. 6%. That leaves the balance of 94%. A staggering 94% of patients who've died from this China virus had other health conditions and contributed causes. Now, we've been talking about this. We've been talking about it on our news programs. I've been discussing this for months, actually. I told you straight out that what's happening is, as the numbers were escalating for death around the world and certainly in the U.S. here, it was very clear to us early on, without this report, without the CDC, without any of the funny business, we instinctively knew by watching the reports of what was happening that the numbers were escalating, but there were a lot of doctors that spoke out about it, and they spoke out about it very early. And they told us that, listen, we're not comfortable with this. They knew it was a scam. So probably a lot of it comes back to their political stripes, those doctors who probably, see Trump as a threat or the direction of the country. They probably went along with it a little bit more so. But I think just about all of them went along with it, and some were speaking up about it, but just kind of got sucked into the system of reporting the deaths the way they were reporting it, basically. So this gets really, really interesting, because when I look right now at the deaths here in the United States here, we're talking, according to their numbers, I mean, over 100, and this number moves every day, but it's over 187,000. So we're approaching that 200,000 mark of deaths. Now, I have never for 1 minute believed that was accurate. I never believed that. I didn't believe that well before this CDC report. I knew it was a scam. I knew instinctively it was a scam. Now, the World Omita has in the number of cases now on the coronavirus, 6,200,000 plus, okay, cases now. The deaths, again, as I say, just shy of now, a couple of 100,000. And the recovered, is they're saying, is about 3.5 million. And I guess that would mean the balance are still battling through it. But the vast majority recover, meaning that if they had only reported 6% of the deaths, I mean, if that was what was reported all the way through here, and if all these games were not played, and we'll get into the reasons why in a minute, but do you realize we'd look like the biggest damn fools ever in the entirety of the human race? We would look like the biggest fools in the history of mankind, that we had a complete lockdown, locked our entire country down, went through all the pain and the struggles that we went through as a people, not to mention all the people that died unnecessarily, okay? And suicides and other things. All to create fear out there, just to keep people unrest and unruly and just uncomfortable. You know, the other day I was in a restaurant and they had, which a lot of us really don't enjoy going to anymore because it's so damn uncomfortable with everybody with the mask thing. And of course they want you to wear the mask when you walk to the table, and then you can take it off and stick it up your backside after that once you sit down, I guess, you know. And I guess it was about, I noticed a sign somewhere that said about 50% occupancy. And I noticed there were a few more people in there. And so I asked the gal who'd come over just in conversation, hey, how's business? And, you know, what's going on here? Is it coming back for y'all? I said, yeah, it's coming back. Yeah. I said, what's your occupancy you can have in the place here? Because I know it varies and it constantly varies in all the states, you know. He says, oh, it's about 50%. I said, is that right? And then she winks at me. She said, yeah, but we're not following that. We're just doing our thing. And we're just letting people come in groups and what have you. We're just not following that. We're not. Is that the rule of the law? Yeah, that's the rule of the law, but we're not following it. We figured we'll ask for forgiveness later. And she kind of winks. And of course, they all have the mask kind of half on, half off, you know. And it's like the biggest charade and the biggest game that everybody is playing. And it's like just really bad theater. Like you went into a bad show and a bad theater and everybody's playing along with the game, yet everybody knows it makes zero sense. And you wonder sometimes when somebody's going to stop all this and say, oh, okay, that's enough. All right, everybody exit, you know, stage left. We're done with this scene. We can get on to the next thing. We'll get on to the, you know, some of the pre-election games here. You just have to think the director is going to yell at some point, you know, cut, that's it, you're done. I mean, I don't know. I just keep waiting for the director to yell, and he has not yelled yet. This is like the longest scene of stupidity in any movie we've ever seen. It's pretty startling. So as you get into these lists here now, let's talk about some of these people, by the way, that have died in all these numbers they've got here that they were chalking to the deaths, you know. On average, there's 2.6 additional conditions they all have, according to the report here at the CDC. So for deaths with conditions or causes in addition to COVID-19, on average, how about 2.6 additional conditions or causes per death? I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, what this says to you, do you understand what I'm saying? So these are people that are very ill, mostly, very sick, mostly. People that are not well. I mean, there are a lot of people like that for whatever reason. Their lifestyle, they have other conditions. Some could be hereditary, some could be whatever. But we're talking on average 2.6 of these conditions. That means these are pretty sick people. And typically, they're going to die from something. In this particular case, it happens to be this COVID China virus deal here. Sadly, I mean, it's always sad. Any death is sad, people. I mean, that's not the point here. You know, every day in our country, people die unnecessarily. You know, we understand that. And a lot of it's from just evil forces, in fact, not more so accidents. That's the minor part of it. But people doing stupid things, you know. But look at this list here that the CDC puts out. Let me share it with you here. So these are the conditions. These are the people, the vast majority, 94% of that, well, approaching now 190, but it'll be 200,000 the way they keep counting the numbers. And we'll get into why in just a moment here. Beside what you already know, there's more to the story. Okay, always is, isn't there? The following list, here's the conditions the CDC lists on their site. Influenza and pneumonia, respiratory failure, right? Okay, diabetes, that's a real problem. Vascular and unspecified dementia. Cardiac arrest, that gets into a whole nother story and a narrative there, we know. Heart failure, renal failure. Intentional and unintentional injury, poisoning, and other adverse events. Okay, all right. And then the last one you have to love, other medical conditions. Now, that could be about anything, I guess, you put into that category. So we're talking 94% of the people had a lot of other conditions. 2.6, in fact, other conditions. And then they might have had the, you know, the antibodies, the virus, some sort of piece of the virus, some element of it. Again, in order to get herd immunity, we're all pretty much going to get this thing at some point. I mean, you're not going to escape this thing. And I'm okay with that. The way they addressed it initially, we were all a bit neurotic, remember, when this thing first started. It's like the big bad boogeyman coming. You know, I remember that. Watch out when you get a package in. Don't touch anything. It was nuts. It was nuts. You know, I was talking to people on the phone, getting deliveries in from the mail service and FedEx and UPS, and they would leave it there for 2 or 3 days so that anything on it would come up. We were all living in the unknown, and this was being pushed out because they didn't know. They didn't have a lot of information, but a lot of people, it started to pick up on its own storyline is what happened, and people started to fill in the gaps, and then fear took over, and then the lockdown, and then the extended lockdown. And it's just, and then of course, on top of all this, I'm going to say to you this, had this happened at a different time, had this happened, this unfortunate virus from China, had it happened at another time, and not on top of an election, we would have never had the pandemic we had. It would have never been this way. We probably would have never had the lockdown. We'd have never gone to this level. We would have been onto the game pretty early on if anybody had tried that. But that's how bad it is with the powers that take over here. And we really are in this very odd Alice in Wonderland moment that we need to begin to realize as a people, because there's a couple of scenes playing out here in our country. This is one of them. And what's going on with these radical domestic terrorists in our cities is another one. And these are narratives that are being pushed out that are so upside down backwards. And they're creating fear in the populace. And that's what they're designed to do, my fellow Americans. The idea is to create an advance of a critical, critical election. This appearance of a horrible pandemic that people are dying by the tens of thousands, and it's, you know, keep your mask on, stay locked in, you know, then the appearance of lawlessness, a country that is turned upside down backwards, so that all this can be questioned later on. It's another way to pull off the master plan to remove Donald Trump from office. There is no other purpose to this. I mean, everybody has to, all the actors know it. The left and the right and the center, all the actors know it. We haven't heard the director yell cut yet. So they're playing along with the gag. And the Foundation for Economic Education, interesting site, always interesting information they have there. Doctors Dan Erickson and Dr. Artin Masihi of Accelerated Urgent Care. Their whole goal was to galvanize policymakers to reopen the economy. And so it goes on here. They're out of California, by the way. Okay. So during their discussion with the reporters, so Dr. Erickson noted that he had spoken to numerous physicians who said they were being pressured to add COVID-19 to death certificates and diagnostic lists. even when the novel coronavirus appears to have no relation to the victim's cause of death. And I quote, "They say, you know, it's interesting," the doctor says, "when I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that?" Dr. Erickson asks. "Why are we being pressured to add COVID? To," and then he says, "to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is?" Well, so these doctors, they're ER doctors, okay? So emergency room doctors. And so they did a video on this, and it was removed from YouTube. And there's a lot of this going on where things are being removed from social media and media alike, because it's all part of this big conspiracy, you see. So that video was removed from YouTube after the American College of Emergency Physicians and the American Academy of Emergency Medicine jointly condemned their briefing. It said they aren't the only ones to say COVID-19 is being classified uniquely. There's reason to question some of the snap conclusions the physicians reached in their briefing, but YouTube's decision to ban them is absurd if predictable, this article goes on to say. So earlier this month, Illinois' top health officials explained that any victim diagnosed with the novel coronavirus would be classified as a COVID-19 death, regardless of whether it contributed to the patient's death. So let me play for you now this audio from the, this is interesting. It's not regarding the Illinois Public Health Department, from the Illinois Public Health Department. And the whole essence is, how does the department actually rule someone a COVID death? Let's listen into that.
Illinois' virus-related death toll continues to climb. The director of public health took time today to explain how the department rules someone an actual COVID death. It can be a little confusing. She says anyone who has COVID when they pass away will be included in that category. Dr. Ngozi Ezike explained this does not mean the virus caused that death, but if someone does test positive for COVID before dying, that is classified a coronavirus fatality.
If you were in hospice and had already been given, you know, a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It might have a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death. Doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death, but they had COVID at the time of death.
So she says there, I quote, if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. Now, that's the director of Illinois Department of Public Health explaining to reporters, anyone who has COVID when they pass away will be included in that category. It does not mean the virus caused the death. If someone tests positive for COVID before dying, it's classified a coronavirus fatality. And she goes on to say here, we aren't pressured to test for the flu. So then why are we being pressured to ask COVID? Now, that's a real eye-opener when you look at these doctors, what they're saying, and they're questioning what's obviously in front of them. I mean, they're not stupid. So then you have to wonder, and everybody continues to report the numbers, and the numbers are incorrect, and the numbers are being reported this way on all the media outlets, on all mainstream media, on cable news media, on social media, political people, candidates, all the way through up to the White House. They're all reporting those same numbers, saying that, you know, upwards close to now 190,000, soon to be 200, have died from COVID. And remember, the estimates to do the lockdown were going to be north of a couple of million, which we never came close to. And if only 6% are really attributed to COVID, this is even less than any flu we've had. It's not nearly the death sentence that they promoted and pushed out on the American people. It's never lived up to the suggested potential of this. I mean, it's never come close. It's not there. So it's the CDC now, and correct on this, so this is sort of a I look at it as a CYA moment. They are definitely covering their asses here. And they did it very discreetly. There was no big headline or anything else on. There was a sort of a footnote in there. You had to find it. But it was found. And with that 94.6% breakup we talked about here, the question is, are hospitals overreporting COVID-19 cases because of financial incentives? So that's one of the questions. I mean, you've got a couple of tracks here. You've got the political incentive to get Trump out of office, and you've got a lot of people that play to that tune, for sure. And then you have the financial incentive, which we kind of suspected and talked about months ago, back in March and April. We were discussing this when things were a little more hairy, you know, back then. We didn't know as much. But there was discussion about that. We did know that they were, you know, tabulating all these deaths to COVID. I mean, I knew it was happening. I told you about it. I reported it on Viewpoint and on this program here. Let me go back and listen. This is well before the CDC and all of this, because we were hearing the early rumblings of that from a lot of medical professionals and from others out there, and we knew it was taking place. And then we questioned the financial incentive. We always question the political incentive, always question that, because this is just another round of, you know, again, TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. That's what this would be classified as. And, you know, the world is really going along with it. And certainly the nation is, both the left and the right. And even the right, they're as guilty as the left, because they also, the vast majority, now I'm not talking everybody, it's never absolute. The right is also guilty, because as I look back at a lot of those videos and a lot of the interviews with a lot of people who were in the know and still are today, they played along with it as well. And they knew damn well this was all a bunch of BS. They knew the numbers were in the stratosphere for nothing. All the politicians were done is they were bent on trying to get all these dollars and spend more trillions of dollars and play these cat and mouse games with Congress, right, to push all that through and try to get the checks out and fund everybody. And this is the worst handled catastrophic event. It probably could be in our nation's history, certainly our lifetimes, probably the nation's history, could be in all of mankind. I don't really know, but it's one big screw up. It is one big screw up when you consider everything that has taken place, you see. And so let me answer this question now. Are hospitals overreporting COVID-19 cases because of financial incentives? On April 15th, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services began implementing the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security. That was CARES Act. Remember CARES Act, right? That increases payment for cases where an individual diagnosed with COVID-19 is discharged. I mean, we knew that back then, or they died during the COVID-19 public health emergency period. So it was a 20% increase. They went on to say it's not a bonus, but a boost in Medicare inpatient hospital payments provided for under the law for beneficiaries diagnosed with COVID-19 and treated during the COVID-19 PHE. So if a person had coronavirus in their diagnosis, any part of it, like whatever, whether they were hospitalized for COVID-19 or not, the reporting hospital received a reimbursement of 13,000 smackaroos. That's 13,000 George Washingtons, you see, and an extra $39,000, triple, if the patient is put on a ventilator. That's like a home run. That's like a extra, you know, you get an extra, throw another ball at the monkey at the carnival. That's a three times winner. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Hey, we give you three times more there. That's what that's all about, right? And so everything I look at when it comes to the hospitals overreporting, all the numbers indicate and all the reports say, and a lot of them cover themselves, well, we know this is happening, but we don't have proof if they really did it. I mean, we think this is what's happening, but we don't really know if they did that. You know, I mean, like they might have done it. We don't really know, but we don't have proof. But they do get all the extra money if they just put COVID on the death certificate. Now, who do you know in your life? Who do you know that if you said, you know, the patient's already dead. It's not like you're not going to hurt the patient. They're dead already. Okay. Gone. How many people do you know in your life that, you know, a response, I mean, their job is to bring in the dollars. That's what the hospitals want. They don't care if they suck it and soak it out of government. They don't care if government is bankrupt. This is, you know, screw thy neighbor moment. Take advantage of a pandemic. Sounds a bit harsh, I know. But how many people do you think you know in your life that would do the honorable thing? I mean, certainly there are some doctors who might, as I know a lot of doctors who, a lot of MDs who are entirely honorable and probably wouldn't play along with the game. But the vast majority of them, they have absolutely played along with the game. And a lot of them have been coerced and have been strong-armed, have been kicked in the ass if they want to get their paycheck or have their job or career or salary or anything of the above. They better do what they're supposed to do and do what they're told. Put COVID on the death certificate and shut up and move it along. It's big money to the hospital. That's what matters. So that was the financial incentive. And of course, the political incentive is very, very clear to everybody, you see. And as I dig further on this, whether you look at whatever fact-checking organization, you just love the way they talk about this from a fraudulence standpoint, and which has become very clear. But everybody should be outraged at this point, absolutely outraged that we tore our country apart. We created fear in the populace. We damned ourselves to hell. We did more than just lock down. I mean, we set our country back. How many years, people? How many years? How many decades? I mean, not to mention, really, the people who did die unnecessarily. I mean, think about all of that in those terms, please. And then you want to talk about good and evil. And talk about how much evil there is on the planet and all the circles that it plays in, the political circles and medical circles and all these circles that it plays in. And you can't believe we've done this as a country to go along with a gag that was never going to be what they sold it to be. It was never going to live up to its expectations. It couldn't. It could not. Because it was never what they put out there to be. We've gone through these viruses before in this pandemic. This one was easily managed. And we haven't even gotten to the beneficiaries yet of all of that with the vaccines and the pharma and a lot of the political people who benefit from that and other beneficiaries of that and stockholders who benefit from that. And politicians. Did I say that already? And politicians, but you start to do all of that math there, and then you realize we've been scammed. We have been totally, completely scammed here. And I got lots more, and some other interesting points here. Play some other audio for you as well. I mean, it's staggering what is out there right now and what we have been asked to not only swallow whole, but to continue to lie about it. And it's like I said, a bad act. It's a gig. It's just a gag. It's a gig, a gag. Waiting for the director to yell, cut! All the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So factcheck.org asked, you know, are hospitals inflating the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths so they can be paid more? Well, their answer to that is recent legislation pays hospitals higher Medicare rates for COVID-19 patients and treatment, but there's no evidence of fraudulent reporting. That was, again, in April, May, a lot of these reports. And there's a series of these fact-checking organizations. But they go on to say the same thing. So $13,000 per patient, the $39,000, or some say $35,000, $39,000, whatever the hell it is, just three times that amount, roughly, not that they get it. If they are successful in getting the patient on a ventilator before they die, that's worth a lot more money to them if they can do that. And again, who's calling those shots? The administrators of the hospitals? The people who are running around the hallways there trying to, you know, excavate more money from our wallets and who soak the system and every day and charge exorbitant fees? In some cases, 5 and 10 more times of what it should actually cost because, well, it's only the insurance company pay for it. Who cares? Which is why we have no good health care. It's why we all are struggling. It's why we pay through the nose. It's why, because nobody cares. Nobody gives a rat's ass. It's why our health care, it's why it costs $42.80 for a freaking Band-Aid. And so whether you look at factcheck.org or you look at PolitiFact, it's the same story all the way. No matter how much I dug on this, they all play to the same narrative. They put it out there with the evidence, and then they try to cover their asses and say, well, we don't really know. I mean, in other words, we set this up that they could scam us and screw the system over. And then the CDC says, finally, they come out here all the way in August now, all the way from March and April. Say, oh, by the way, we got a little news bulletin for y'all. It was only 6%, 99.99. That was got under that. The 94%. Well, they had other problems. They were potentially dying from other concerns. Because again, we didn't cure heart disease and cancer and suicide. We didn't cure all those things and accidents in those months when those death rates were incredibly low, but yet COVID was incredibly high. So there's your answer right there. And they soaked the system. And a lot of other people went along with this. Again, there's the financial incentive, but there's also the political incentive. And you see, this is where it gets layered onto itself. It's a layering of minutia, because then you have the overarching political aspect of it, which is just more minutia on top of that minutia. But you understand how this is played now. It's a financial incentive, then your political incentive, you see? Okay. Dr. Mark McDonald, Frontline Doctors, he did an interview recently with Jess Weber, which was quite revealing. I want to play an audio for you. It's about 2 minutes and change, but it's worth hearing. We all need to hear this. And I want you to hear what he says, this doctor, Mark McDonald. Listen in.
So you believe that the coronavirus is basically something like smaller, like to the flu, that we could, you know, be okay with, right?
Well, the virus is real, but the numbers are not.
Why do you think YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook silence you guys?
Because what we're saying is dangerous. It's dangerous to a coalition of forces, specifically politicians, some media, and special interest groups, such as teachers' unions, pharmaceutical companies, and vaccine makers. to consolidate, grow, and maintain their power and their money.
Is hydroxychloroquine even bad?
Hydroxychloroquine has been a safe and effective medication throughout the world for 65 years. It was developed from tree bark and then turned into quinine, which was used by the British in India to protect against malaria infections. Today, the synthetic form, which is hydroxychloroquine, is used throughout the world. It is actually a WHO-mandated necessary medication to keep to prevent against malaria pandemics. And it's been used in the United States for lupus and rheumatoid arthritis on a daily basis for decades in patients who take it every single day. Women, children, pregnant women, nursing mothers, and elderly adults. Even now in Africa, it's considered to be a supplement and sold over the counter in many countries safely and effectively. Until this year, hydroxychloroquine was considered to be safe for all people. It was only after January of 2020 that hydroxychloroquine became the devil.
What do you think? Who's pushing against hydroxychloroquine? Who's behind it?
Well, I think there's a coalition of forces that are behind the push against hydroxychloroquine. It started in January when Gilead Pharmaceuticals announced some benefit to a patented drug called remdesivir that reduced hospital stay course for those with coronavirus by 3 or 4 days. Certainly meaningful, but certainly not curative. As soon as that happened, media, politicians, other special interest groups got on board with trying to stop hydroxychloroquine from being made available by doctors to their patients. And a whole campaign was set against it, including several research publications like The Lancet back in June that published fraudulent data that was later retracted to say that hydroxychloroquine either didn't work or it killed people. My belief at this point is that it's all about the election. And there are people now in positions of power, politicians primarily, who will benefit from keeping America scared and stuck at home through November. And if all Americans had access to hydroxychloroquine, the pandemic would essentially end in about 30 days.
The virus is real, but the numbers are not. Well, sure, there was a virus there. We've had these before. Yeah, we're not questioning the virus not being real. It's a real virus. The flu is real. Influenza is real. It does happen. This is another version of that. Never was what they sold it for. If this was a movie and this was the preview and it was an acclaimed movie and they put it out to be that, it never lived up to the expectations. As I say, and we're still waiting for the director to say cut, but they're playing along with the gag still. I'm saying cut. Right here today to you. Enough of the BS. Cut. Let's get over the gag. We're over it. Ha, ha, ha. The virus is real, but the numbers are not. But then it was asked, why is social media silencing you, right? Politicians, some media, special interest groups, like teacher unions, pharmaceutical companies, and vaccine makers, to consolidate, grow, and maintain their power and their money, he answered back. And then he gets in very interestingly, and this was not going to be about HCQ today, but isn't it fascinating that that comes up again in a big, big way? He talks about HCQ. Take it every single day. Women, children, pregnant women, nursing mothers, elderly adults. It was safe for all people. Only up until after January 2020, when hydroxychloroquine became the devil, is what he says, what the doctor said. He goes on to say, Dr. McDonald, my belief at this point, it's all about the election. There are people now in positions of power, politicians primarily, who will benefit from keeping America scared and stuck at home through November. And if all Americans had access to HCQ, the pandemic would essentially end in about 30 days. OMG. That's not the first time I've heard that from an MD. It's not the first time at all I've heard that. I've had other doctors say that to me, and other doctors speculate on that based on their experience and their expertise and their knowledge, that we could have handled this pandemic in short order just with this HCQ. So here you have a medication that is perfectly legit. They've been using this since the 50s, right? Is that what I understand? This thing has been out for like ever. I mean, a long time, people. Before most of us were born, they were using HCQ successfully. Think about it. Before most of us were born, a lot of us, they were using this HCQ for all kinds of things. Malaria and arthritis, all kinds of things. It's very effective drug, very effective. And they're giving it to women and children, pregnant women nonetheless, nursing mothers, elderly adults, people that are sick, and it's been like the safest drug ever, like never an issue. No, people were not dying from this medication. This medication was saving their lives because it was safe. And you think of that in those terms of the success of this medication. And then you see, as Dr. McDonald says, well, it was after that point, after January or so, I believe he said, yeah, that all of a sudden it became very, very political. And it was a hot button. And it was like the devil, like it was somebody else said, right? It was like the devil up front. That other person said that in the other audio clip, right? That people are being pressured to, there's a lot of pressure being put on here from a lot of people who have a different agenda, a far different agenda. And enough of these doctors have come out now to spill the beans, to deliver the truth. But when you see all of this on the HCQ, and he mentioned the Lancet study, which was all bogus, and a lot of people who have other interests, by the way, and other beneficiaries. That's why I mentioned that to you moments ago for other reasons. Again, you've got political implications. You've got financial implications. Don't lose sight of this, okay? Power and money. Power and money is what we always talk about, isn't it? Power and money. And so all of that's kind of in here. Different people for different reasons. And then all the media played with this and they built their storylines and they built their narratives, knowing full well that this was a very effective drug. There was nothing wrong. And they ran with this whole bad information about cardiac arrest and that people were dying from heart problems and cardiac, heart attack, all kinds of problems due to the heart. And that was the big talking point, that HCQ was now very dangerous for you all of a sudden. After 50, 60, 70 years of being used in the public space, all of a sudden, miraculously, overnight, it was no longer effective. It was no longer, because, well, he said it would have ended the pandemic essentially in about 30 days. That's why some people and a lot of doctors and medical people take it prophylactically. They take it for all of those reasons because I wouldn't hesitate myself. I wouldn't hesitate at all. Just to see President Trump took it prophylactically because it was effective for him. And he had the confidence in it, which he had spoke out about, which again, a lot of them did not like when the president, but just they had an interest to keep this pandemic going. They had a major interest to keep the fear in the populace, which I said 20 minutes ago to you, right? To create the appearance of a fearful society, of lawlessness society when it comes to that other big jackass in the room, you know? But then this is the other one here. It's a 1-2 sucker punch, I keep telling you, that America is being delivered on right now. The domestic terrorist and the breakdown of a civil society in America's cities is the one sucker punch to the gut and the other one to the face, which is this bogus, baloney, extended pandemic extravaganza, Hollywood blockbuster film, and that everybody has gone along with because the director hasn't yelled cut yet. And so they're all still playing along with it, which is about as evil as we could possibly be. I don't know how many people will pay a price for this. I just don't know the answer to that, but I will say to you, there are a lot of people who should pay a price for this, both here on this earth and thereafter. Yeah, they should absolutely pay a price. It's beyond comprehension here what's taking place. And so now, again, so everybody understands now the movie that's playing, right? China virus pandemic hits the world and brings America to its knees. You understand the title of the movie now, correct? You got that, right? You got the political implications over here. You got the financial implications over here. You got all these deaths being attributed to the virus. You see the deaths I already shared with you. It's nowhere near that. The CDC has now confirmed 6%. You're talking minuscule. You're talking more people are going to die from, you know, flea bites, whatever. You're talking, it just simply doesn't compute. And so you have all, so you just look at the numbers. But again, if you have a movie that you're putting out and you're promising, you know, at least north of a couple of million, that's what the blockbuster is going to deliver, well north of that. And then, you know, here's the pain, you got to go through and do it. And then you don't come any close to delivering that. Well, that's called a bomb. In the box office, that's called a bomb. And bombs don't do well because they lose money at the top. Or they have other reasons why, other implications why. But they don't want a bomb. They don't want a blockbuster. They want a blockbuster, but not a bomb. So that you heard that expression, the movie bombed at the box office, right? Well, this one here, they wanted to ensure. So in order to ensure it was a blockbuster, the concept was, let's just see if we can't pull this scam off on the American people. And you remember the early conversation with Dr. Fauci and Burke's frickin' frack there. Don't wear your mask. It's like a square dancing in the country and western band. Two steps forward, one to the side. Three, four to the right, and three, four, four. One, two, back, and a three to the left, and the right, back, back. You just see that happening right there. Wear your mask, don't wear your mask. Chick-a-dee, lockdown, lockdown, move along. Don't touch E, social distancing. I mean, it's a constant bunch of BS. They've had everybody in a tizzy from day one as they try to play out again the rules of their blockbuster extravaganza pandemic that they were delivering to the world. Easily could have been handled, but again, we all got sucked up into this political vacuum of nonsense. But the numbers, I mean, just look at all these stats and the data here. Doesn't matter what my opinion is or what your opinion is, people. The facts are the facts. They don't lie. And now I just, it's an unbelievable joke when you're out in the public space and people are wearing these silly masks, which are absolutely just total nonsense. They are absolutely ridiculous. And most of the time they're falling off people or their everything's noses exposed, mouths exposed. I mean, it's a game. And people are confronting people and they get nasty because they think they want to be the mayor at that moment, or they want to play like they're in charge. Like you need to wear your mask and be a good steward. And people will come right up to you when you're in the public square, if you're not wearing that mask, that the big bad government and the big bad political people and the big bad doctors and the big bad CDC and the Fauci said, you need to wear your mask and be a good little puppy and move along here. We'll give you a bone later. The bone was that $1,200 you got a while back there. Now they promised another bone, but you never got the other bone. But the point is they're still spending bones. Pelosi and Congress are still in the White House, are still trying to put together the next act of how to bankrupt a nation. That's another story for another day, right? So you look at all of this and you begin to realize now that we've been had. We've been completely had. And when you see the implications of this, I mean, no more have I ever been more convinced than I am now. And I want to suggest to you, you hear the audio clips I play with you here. You hear what you just played with Dr. Mark McDonald and what he came out and said. It is unbelievable that this thing is, you know. And so then you see all these social media outfits, the Facebooks and the Twitters and all of them across the board. They've all done a YouTube, every one of them. They're now telling you what you're going to run and what you're not going to run. And any reference to vaccines or HCQ or any ones of these numbers being wrong, And so they're in on the gag. They're in with the director and the producer, and you can't speak out about that because the act has not finished. And so these outfits want to make sure that you still are going along with the gag because he hasn't yelled cut yet. You know, and I assume they're going to yell cut potentially on this one. I don't know if it happens on November 4th, the morning of that after the election, whether the left finally gets tired of the game. And they finally say, well, you know, we had enough. It was all a gag. You can take your mask off now, silly. It's okay. You know, but again, a lot of that's going to depend upon what happens with the results of that election, clearly, right? You agree with that? And that's going to be the next chapter of the unrest that's going to happen as well, because whatever's going to happen, there are going to be a lot of people pissed off with the election results. And right now, the momentum is shifting quickly. In the public space, it is, but the momentum has always been with President Trump. It's always been there, as far as I can see. It's just they want to feed this other narrative they want to put out there to suggest otherwise, which is why they float their fake polls all the time, their fake polls with their fake news and their fake pandemic and their fake everything. So they can, it's just all a fake. Just another bunch of fakeness going on here in America. Sick. Absolutely sick. And people are getting very, well, fearful is for sure, but there's an unsettlingness in our nation that I have not seen before. I'm getting messages in here every hour of the day of all kinds of things. Watch this video. Listen to this. Read that, please. You know, what do you think? Is this happening? Can you get someone to look at this? And they're horror stories. I mean, they're stories that talk about an uprising. They're talking about the terrorist groups and what they plan to do pre and post election. They're talking about a lot of things that are happening with the other big, again, jackass in the room, the unrest, the domestic terrorism, the vandalism, the law enforcement is bad. Where good is evil and evil is good, where they're trying to flip it all, you know, and suggest to you otherwise. And they're going along with that gag as well. And then you got all these people out in the public square, just playing games. I mean, they're terrorizing people as they're walking from events and public things. And I mean, just horrible, ugly stuff. I mean, stuff you wouldn't wish on your people. Anybody really, you wouldn't wish that on. And these are just evil little monsters. These Antifa, Black Lives Matter, gangs, domestic terrorists, evil groups. Just the worst possible denominator in this nation. These are the worst part of the human race. That's what you're dealing with here. It's disgusting. It's despicable. These evil little monsters that are trying to push their agenda on God-loving people and just real people out there trying to live their lives and have no desire to be confronted from these nasty people, just like, you know, Senator Rand Paul was, that we talked about over the weekend, and so many others. I mean, this is happening to everybody, just regular everybody. You don't have to be a senator to be harassed. They're harassing citizens, anybody who doesn't fit to their agenda. They're walking into restaurants and doing it. I mean, these are ugly, ugly scenes playing out here. It's another part of the gag that's happening here. Well, now you see that they're definitely getting nervous. You see Michael Moore comes out and Bill Maher and a lot of the Democrat operatives, and they're getting scared. Michael Moore says, don't leave it to the Democrats to get rid of Trump, is his quote. He's put a tweet out that you have to get rid of Trump. Isn't that interesting how he says that and how dangerous that is, in fact? Don't leave it to the Democrats to get rid of Trump. You have to get rid of Trump. Who the hell is the you, right? And get rid of Trump. Very, very interesting how that message is put out there. Get rid of Trump. Should make you all a little worried, you know? He puts a tweet out there on the, just a couple of days ago on the 28th there. Sorry to have to provide the reality check again. But when the poll registered voters in the swing states, Biden and Trump are in a virtual tie. In Minnesota, it's 47-47. In Michigan, where Biden had a big lead, Trump has closed the gap to 4 points. Are you ready for a Trump victory? Act now. Wow, that was Moore's message, his tweet. Of course, Biden never had that big lead in Michigan. That's another poll scamathon is what that is. This is all one big joke. And we'll save our breath to talk about the silent majority and talk about Americans, because there are plenty of them out there who understand the game and what's going on here for sure. So there's going to be a lot of people in the end crying towels. You thought they needed crying towels when Hillary Clinton went down. Right? Wait till you see this next one. When Joe Biden goes down, what they'll need then. But so Bill Maher comes out. He says, his tweet here's the other day, democracy isn't a spectator sport. And if real Donald Trump is going to try to scuttle the post office, we need to fight back. Scuttle. I like that word, scuttle. If he's going to scuttle the post office, we need to fight back. We need to use that word more. It's a good word, scuttle. It is in our power to give at USPS less mail to process. Let this be our October surprise for Trump. Hashtag free up the mail raised. Wow. So his idea is he's trying to encourage people, Bill Maher, to get people out there to physically vote and not so much worry about the USPS. It is in our power to give the USPS less mail to process. In other words, get off your ass and vote, he's saying, you know, if it matters to you. So you see Bill Maher and Michael Moore, they're getting a little nervous. And so many others are getting nervous as well. And just look at the conventions and the body language of those conventions and the candidates and what came out of that and how they would govern and how they are. And brace yourself, my fellow Americans, because things will potentially get worse before they get better. And on that note, it's time to get involved and get loud.